Welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news, specializing in track days, club racing, and great entertainment. We truly do it all. And this week, we are brought to you by Working Class Customs, which is a custom fabrication shop out of Northern Utah. If you have any further questions on that, please direct them to Cole.
And I'm Cole.
And I'm Easton. We are your two favorite hosts of your favorite weekly motorcycle podcast, minus last week, because it was Christmas and, you know.
Merry Christmas. I hope everybody had a great Christmas holiday.
Do people work on the New Year?
On New Year's Day, like, generally, no.
Which one's the holiday, though? Is it New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? Because you don't do, like, celebrating on New Year's Day.
I know, but you gotta recover from some things.
Right, but, like, which one is truly the holiday?
New Year's. Well, New Year's Eve is truly the holiday, of course. But
you start, I mean, if New Year's is the holiday, that means you start every single year with a day off.
That's a new perspective.
Never thought about that, did you?
No.
Neither did I until just now, but.
So, we got to get the weather out of the way.
Okay. Cold? Snow?
It's cold, but I tell you every day that it just keeps, it's a weird year. It's a weird year over here. I mean, it's cold, but there's not a drop of snow on the ground right now. We got snow in the mountains.
So you say weird. I mean, I spent a good portion of my life in Utah, short life. You know, I'm about 13 years old, so I remember a lot of brown Christmases. You wake up Christmas morning and be like, ooh, did it snow? And it's like, no, it didn't. There's frost on the ground. Congrats. And then like 3 weeks later, you just get dumped on. That's like when winter hits and you're kind of pissed off because like Christmas is over, so you're ready for, you know, the next season.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But we're rolling up on the new year, and mm-hmm. we've had like a lot of rainstorms. So if there was a 5-degree switch, we would have been having a record winter
for snow. Yeah,
but it's not. It just keeps kind of raining. You know, that global warming and everything. Plus the electric bikes and blah blah blah.
Yeah, nice. You brought it back.
I brought it back.
I was going to insert an interesting fact about rain and snow. I don't know if you knew this. You probably did, but 1 inch of rain apparently is a foot of snow. Because yeah. when the rain freezes, it expands, and so it makes it real fluffy.
Yeah, so you get. I've heard that.
But yeah, which just tells you about how much. Yeah, everyone thinks Utah gets so much snow, but like, I talk to people from other states, and they're like, "Yeah, man, you know, we'd wake up to 6 feet." I'd be like, "Wow, yeah, we just got really cold." And like some snow. It was good snow, but it wasn't like a lot of it, especially not all at once.
Anyway. Well, you mentioned 13 years. You're just showing your age. See, us old folks, we remember when we had to walk uphill both ways and blah, blah. So
yeah, and the great blizzard of 1982.
Yep, something like that. It seems like it used to snow more.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what you're saying is that round one USBA is going to be a snowy round once again because the snow is waiting.
Man, I hope not, but it's been on my mind a lot lately. It's actually been in my mind a lot lately because I'm going, you know what? I don't even want to deal with that.
They make rain tires. I don't think there's a single brand out there that's like, yeah, here's your snow tire for you club racers that ride in the snow.
They make them, but it's usually connected to a four-wheeled car, and that's what they should do. If it snows, they should just let us take our personal vehicles on the track.
Yeah, everyone's going to show up in their diesel pickups.
Probably.
Whoever's got the most weight in the bed wins. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Welcome to Utah.
Yeah.
There'll be one guy with a Subaru out there smoking everybody.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Vape smoke filling up the cab. Something about Hoonigan. Anyway. All right. We don't need to get into all that. Well, welcome back to the show. It's the end of the year / the beginning of the new year, so I think we're going to go with tradition and cover the year.
Yeah.
Just talk about us.
Talk about us. It was an exciting year, I think. It was kind of a blur, but
it does go by fast. That's what, like, every, you know, last year when we did this and this year, you know, I've been thinking about it about every day. Like, oh, you know, what did we do this year? But even with thinking about it, we get into this and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I did this other one crazy thing. I completely forgot. Like, there's a whole set of stories over in there. So we'll you know, we'll see where the night takes us. And we don't want to take up your whole New Year's, so won't be here all day. But maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
So come on now. Let's roll the intro, and then we'll get into it.
Intro it is.
Yesterday at one point, I was in six.
And we're back.
We're back.
And do we got a writer tip this week?
Yeah. You know we have a writer tip this week.
Got a writer tip going into the new year or something? I mean, something to build your New Year's resolution around?
Yeah, you know, I can't promise that this tip meets that per se. But it is a very, very good weekly riding tip. And it is brought to you once again by Bedinger Motorsports, which is private coaching that builds solid riders through vision-based training. And this week, Josh Bedinger has to say, save the high side.
Save the high side?
Save the high side.
All right.
Okay. On corner exit, under acceleration, the rear tire can begin to slip, spin, and step out. When you feel the rear end beginning to slide out from under you, do not chop the throttle. We were just talking about this before this podcast episode. Anyway, instead, freeze the throttle and often the bike will regain traction slowly. Realign with your trajectory and leave a power sliding black mark on the track that you can be proud of. Cutting throttle too quickly will make the bike regain traction too abruptly, causing the rear tire to compress suddenly and then springboard you to the moon. Don't freak out. Don't chop the throttle. Stay smooth and in control, and many high sides can be saved.
To the moon!
No, not to the moon. Bad. Bad. Moon is for spaceships.
Gotcha.
Race bikes belong on racetracks, not moons. Save the high side. That's funny, because literally right before this, we were talking about when I was out on the dirt, and I would feel the rear tire slipping, and it would slip too much, and I would absolutely just chop the throttle and pick the bike up, because this is a lightweight bike, and it's dirt. The asphalt is not dirt.
Yeah, so you said, I mean, you nailed it. We were talking about it before. You said the things you were doing would have been to the moon.
Yeah. I mean, I recognized it, right? That's the first step of recovery from something, you know, is recognizing you have a problem.
Yeah.
Then you fix the problem, maybe, or you don't, but at least you recognized it. You did the first step. So.
I like yeah. You're right. I mean, your first instinct, anybody's first instinct is to panic. I mean, you can compare that to braking situations, you know, on the street. Somebody, car pulls out in front of you, everybody just grabs all the brakes, slides, locks up both tires.
Yeah, I mean, even in a car. I mean, I remember in high school one time, I actually avoided an accident because for some odd reason that day, I literally looked down to turn my music up. That was it. And I looked up. I was coming up to a big old four-way right outside of high school, right? Always super busy. Traffic's always backed up. Looks like the car's way out. Cool. Don't see any brake lights right in front of me. I'm good to go, right? Reach down, turn up the music, look back up, car right in front of me. Oh, crap. And so I swerved to the right while slamming on the brakes, went past the car, and then I heard this huge crash. And I was like, whoa. Didn't feel anything. Look over. The guy behind me happened to also be turning his music up or down or whatever. And he didn't swerve. He just slammed on his brakes and ran into the car behind him. So, yeah. Even in a car. First instinct. Not always the right one.
Right. It's definitely a benefit to be able to have a cool head in a situation like that. Like I said, know that the bike's slipping out. Don't panic.
Yeah. It brings me to wonder, though. I have felt my bike slip out. I remember one time specifically. The other two involved the bike slipping out and like out. But the one time specifically was at Thunder Hill, going around turn two. I was trying to get my knee down because everyone said like turn two is the spot. You know, photographer will be out there three times today, so get your good pictures. Everyone loves turn two, and so I was just trying to add more, and it slipped. The back slipped out. And I can't tell you exactly what I did, if I did chop it or if I did just kind of stop adding. But, you know, I ended up straightening the bike out, not slipping anymore. but I felt that slide. You know, how often have you actually felt your rear tire slip and been in that moment where you have to make the decision to hold throttle, like Josh is saying, and save the high side by chopping throttle?
By not chopping throttle.
Yeah.
It's maybe a different scenario, but my bike's slipping all the time.
Okay.
Maybe I think should probably put a GoPro camera just on my traction control light.
It's just watch it.
It's just flashing through the corners. Turn it down. Turn it down. Hey. It's still just flashing.
Hey.
A lot of movement, even under normal conditions, just as a tire wears out, as the race progresses,
mm-hmm.
you know, starting to slide it more and more and more and more.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's kind of that sweet spot, right? Like a little bit of tire sliding is where that maximum grip actually lives. But there's a very sweet spot of how much is too much, how much is going to slip out and lose, how much is going to become some sort of weird oversteer, I'm drifting on the track, and then how much is that perfect, you know, lay the rubber down like Josh mentioned and maintain that throttle. You've got the perfect amount of slip. You're right there, and then you just pick the bike up and go. So it's definitely, yeah, that's a good way to enter the new year. Don't go to the moon. Go to the new year with confidence in your ability to not high side your bike.
Yeah. Good New Year's resolution as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Add that one to the list. No high sides this year.
No high sides this year.
Sweet.
Thank you for the tip, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate it. We appreciate all the weekly tips. If you're looking to ride with Josh Bittinger down at the Bittinger Motorsports campus, otherwise known as MSRH, link will be down in the description. Go check them out. You can also ride at any Ride Smart event. Sign up for some coaching with Josh. Do either mini motos or on-track coaching or both. A two-day rock solid camp, I believe is what he calls it. And it is, from personal experience now,
right.
I'd say it's well worth it. So go check it out.
All right. Can I take this away?
You better, because I was going to say something along the lines of, well, 2024, we rode some motorcycles, some championships were won, a race was entered, and we're going to call it good. But
see ya. So I cheated here. I have a list of some highlights that I want to get your take on.
Okay. All right.
And I'll throw one to you. If you got one, you can throw one back. But some highlights from the year.
Mm-hmm.
Not all personal. I'm going to start with a non-personal one. Okay. So we're finishing off 2024. Some of the big events, some of the big things in my mind. Top Rack. One World Superbike on a BMW.
I don't remember that happening. Did you fact check that on the news? Last I heard, BMW is going bankrupt.
That's the wrong company. Wrong three letters.
My bad. Wrong country. Okay. Yeah, that's the orange
one. Side piece of news. KTM, they're out of MotoGP in 2026 is what all the reports are saying now.
But they're going to make it for 2025.
So we'll
see.
The bankers have been saying they're out of there immediately. KTM's mm-hmm. been saying, don't worry, we're committed to, and that's been the last couple weeks or week. And today all the stories are leaning towards, no, they are out. They don't have a choice in the matter, and they're going to have to go defunct on their contract. 2025 will be their last year in MotoGP.
That gives them a whole year to fix things. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you like KTM.
Ladies and gentlemen, on a side note, we're going to go dirt biking here for a minute. Just because I brought up KTM, and I'm sorry, now we're going to get off tangent here. But on KTM,
mm-hmm.
so I was in, as you know, I was in St. George riding dirt bikes.
Yep.
In the back of the truck that I was in was a Husqvarna, a Gas, and a KTM.
So a KTM, and a
KTM.
KTM. Okay. Yep.
When we went riding, the truck in front of us, the group we were with, mm-hmm. the truck in front of us had a KTM in the back. The truck in front of him had a gas in the back.
So how are they bankrupt?
We go out to the spot, and it's like almost all one of those three brands. Like the vast majority of dirt bikes are one of those three brands. Huh. And then trying to stay awake riding home last night, I was blown away. We were playing, I don't know, one of them road games, you know, pick a road sign. We were just picking dirt bikes out of back of trucks or on trailers, because it was like a solid caravan for the 4-hour drive, you know, back to civilization from there.
Interesting. Okay. And
almost every trailer. I mean, there's exceptions there. Kawasaki here, Honda there, but it's like all KTMs and Husqvarnas. Like, how are you going out of business, people? There's some strange decisions being made, because if it's profitable to build a dirt bike, period, then they would have to be profitable.
Yeah, with how many?
They're selling all the dirt bikes.
Yeah. Huh. You know, that's I haven't owned a dirt bike. So, you know, when you buy something new, you're always watching for it. Whether or not you think you are, like, I bought a motorhome a year and a half ago now. Actually, just over a year ago. And I'm anytime I'm on the road, I'm like, ooh, motorhome. What is that? You know, looking at it. So I'm not out looking for the dirt bikes, but it's got to be a new thing. Because KTM used to be like a sign of like, oh, that guy's got some money. At least in my head. Right? Like, you saw a KTM, you're like, whoa, okay, sorry. And I'm used to seeing just like a splatter of red, yellow, green, blue. Maybe a little bit more blue than you know, than the others, but it's like this weird splatter of, yep, I was on Facebook Marketplace for 10 hours, found three good deals. Some of them are running, and we also got this Chinese thing. And like, that was it.
Well, not so that, not to make sure that nobody out there is trying to correct me or anything. The St. George riding area is a particular type of riding.
Okay.
And, you know, desert rally, single track type stuff. And that is definitely the most prominent bikes for that.
So you know,
you go to a motocross track, and there's still going to be a lot of KTMs, but you're probably going to get more of a mix of the Japanese bikes in there.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't see a whole lot of any of it anymore out here, to be honest. But
that's ridiculous. I may or may not been in your area recently, and I almost followed a truck with a nice Yamaha dirt bike in the back of it because I knew he was going somewhere special and I wanted to locate it. But I wasn't driving.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. There might be some dirt in my future. We'll see. But we're not here to talk about the future. You said something about Top Rec and BMW, and
how cool is that?
It's pretty sweet. I think a big thing with that is BMW, right? And we talk about BMW so much on the show that it feels like we're just here once again on the BMW show. But the fact that they took the world championship, they finally have a good bike, and it doesn't feel like they're just, which I don't think I expected it, but they're not pausing, right? It's not like they're going to be like, yeah, okay, cool, we're hanging out here for a minute. They're moving forward. I've seen, maybe it's just because you put it out in the atmosphere, but seen plenty of, whether they're real or not, articles about BMW entering MotoGP and when that's going to be, who they're going to take with them, Top Rec's ideas of what he wants to do in the future. So he is getting old. We'll see. But I think I read an article that said something about he wants to go to MotoGP, and it's not a money thing. That's what he wants to do. But if no one will take him, then he'll stick with World Superbike because of whatever. But no, that's, yeah. I mean, huge for both of them. Happy to see that, as I think I've mentioned before on here, we've talked about, just it's cool to see the talent match up in the right spot.
Yep.
Definitely. So you take a guy that you can tell has talent from a bike that doesn't, and put him on a bike that looks like it might not, because the other people, not saying they don't have talent, but they weren't giving it everything it had. You just create that perfect pair, and it as proven, it's unstoppable. So definitely a great year. Definitely great for the BMW fans in the audience.
All right. We got to rapid fire these a little faster. No more KTM tangents. All right.
Okay.
You got one?
I got a race license this past year. That's kind of personal, but that happened.
Well, nice. Yes.
Woo. Go me.
That's awesome.
Actually, two of them, technically.
Two of them. With both of your identification cards.
Hey, you weren't supposed to mention that.
Oh.
Okay. Both of them say I'm a U.S. citizen, so it's fine.
Well, you did a personal one, so I'm going to do a personal one.
All right, what you got?
I got to stand on my first podium in my whole life.
More than once.
More than once, but there one of those had to be the first.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And how did the champagne bottle thing go?
We don't need to talk about
that. No, we're just leaving that. We're just leaving that out.
I've been practicing a lot after hours so that it looks different.
You know, you're supposed to just drink the champagne. Like last night.
I could have saved it for.
Did we talk on here about the fact that Utah is like a dry state, relatively?
It's not. It's just the alcohol is not alcoholic.
I just don't remember if we mentioned it. Is it actually champagne?
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Cole, first podium, first championship. Didn't just double that, tripled it. That's pretty nuts. Retired the 2010 S1000 after she won a championship. So, you know, it's like going down with the ship.
Yeah, I had to take her out on a high note before she blew smoke or something.
Something. After, I guess it was only one engine, right? One engine and two different size forks.
Yeah, they're still two different size forks, but that's enough of that. We, together, got to do a track day at Barber.
We did. We did go to Barber. Probably simultaneously best and worst track day of the year for me.
Hmm?
I love Barber as a track, but you sent them a sweet little email saying like, hey, I am not going to ride in your C group. And they replied back with, we don't know what a C group is. And you said, it means slow, and I am not that. And they said, okay. Show us proof, and you said, here's the proof, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, he has proof. I did not do that. I went the other route of like, oh, I'll play the rules. And so my first session was spent doing like 40 miles an hour, and they looked at me like I was absolutely insane when I told them I never left first gear, and I just looked back at them like, well, what did you want me to do? But Barber in and of itself, that was awesome. You know, it wasn't just the track day. It was paired with Moto America weekend, which is always super fun. The entire Privateer Industries crew was down there, so it was awesome to hang out with them. Shout out to Jeff Tate. Saw him down there. Had an interesting interaction between the two of us twice.
That was fun.
Both thought about behind the scenes. But yeah, Barber's sweet. You know, it's that good, smooth pavement, awesome layout. I just didn't feel like I got to enjoy it to the potential that it deserved because of rules with track day orgs on the East Coast.
Well, as you previously mentioned, I had the opposite of that experience, except we had some technical difficulties getting on the track.
Yeah.
So it did cost me a little more money than I anticipated to, to, you know, start the day.
Yeah. You know, I want to know from the audience, just out of curiosity, like, tech inspection is very important and taking your stuff seriously is very important, but are there people in the audience that have ever ridden knowing you have a fork seal leaking?
I want to know how many of y'all clean that up with a rag before you take it down to tech.
That's what I'm saying. I want to know. Tell us the truth. We won't dime you out of the next track day. I just want to know the truth. There's got to be someone out there that's doing it. I've never done that.
Well, I should have done that, apparently, but that's another story.
Yeah, good old fork seals. You know, fork seals on what? What'd you name the white jigsaw? White Lightning. White Lightning. Yeah, George Jones. White Lightning. Ugh.
She's a machine. What about Josh Herron winning the championship? You know, 42 years apart from the last time he won a championship.
Dang. Josh Herron started his own podcast, and so we can't be friends with him anymore, and that's how I feel about that.
Is that how that works?
No, I'm just kidding. Josh Heron's awesome. I still love him. He did throw me off. So that, you know, I've made it a habit of going up and talking to Josh at every Moto America event for like no reason. It's not like he has any idea who I actually am or any, not that I am anybody either, but
little
like, hey, Josh, you know, I talked to him like he's a normal person. And this past one, I was like, hey, Josh. And he just looked at me like, what? I was like, sorry. I was like, hey, you got time for a picture with my daughter? And then he was very serious and upset. And I felt real bad for interrupting whatever he was doing. But as soon as I just mentioned, like, yeah, I'm just looking for a picture with my daughter, he like immediately flipped it around to a grin, was like, yeah, absolutely. And then he like grabbed, I think I told this story already, but whatever. That's what this is all about. He grabbed the front end of his bike off. They had it on some stand. They had all the fairings off. And he just grabbed that and took a picture with that. So anyway, yeah, the championship win that we were waiting for, I was hoping for last year. The question is, Josh, and I want an honest opinion. I know he probably isn't going to watch this or comment on it, but I want an honest opinion. Is it all Josh, or was it a little bit of lack of Gagne?
You want my take? That's what I'm here for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So my take is yes, no. Hear me out.
Listening.
The second half of that season, I don't care if you put Mark Marquez on a bike out there against him.
Whoa.
He wasn't losing that championship. That second half, he rode out of his head.
He probably rode into him.
He deserved the championship. He won the championship. He fought for the championship. He got the championship. The only caveat that I would put in there is the fact that Gagne was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Helped him light the fire that got him to where he needed to be to do that, potentially.
Okay. All right. I see that angle. I don't know that I'd fully agree with it. I don't disagree with it per se. But yeah,
if Gagne would have been 30 points up midway in the season, some of the drive, it would have been harder to get that drive. But
yeah,
when he was in striking distance, then leading, then dominating, he just got on such a roll.
Yeah.
Things came together and he wasn't going to be stopped.
Yeah, which is, once again, like, that's, you know, that's the Josh we've been waiting for. We've been kind of bragging about, talking about, and it was awesome to see it. I don't want to take that away from him at all. I kind of wish Gagne had been up there a little bit, not to unlight the fire, but just to give a little bit more fight up there. But kudos, all the credits. Josh Heron took it. Yeah, I think the coolest part to me is that, like, he won the championship on the V2. Ducati promised him a factory seat or a superbike ride, whatever you want to call it. He got that, didn't win it necessarily right off, right, that first season. And I think, I don't know, I'm just taking a guess at what people thought, but I could see how there could be some, like, well, yep, he just proved it, didn't deserve it, should have stuck on the V2, or it was just because he were on the V2, or whatever, right? And then he comes back this year, and he took it. So, and you can argue all day that it was just because Gagne wasn't there, or it was this, or it was that. But you can argue that anywhere you want, ever. The truth is, he took the championship. It was freaking awesome. Super excited about that.
Absolutely. MotoGP season, we've seen the first ever satellite rider win the championship.
Do you know how many articles I've seen about how he shouldn't have won it?
How many articles about what? I missed that.
Why he shouldn't have won it.
He won it.
He did.
He should have won it.
If the rules change, if the game changes, you got to change with the game. You can't sit back. The one I saw, I think it was literally this morning specifically, was just talking about how, had there not been sprints, it would have been the same as Mark Marquez's 2019 season, which is like the iconic Mark Marquez season, right? I was like, yeah, but there were. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't mind. There's a fine line there. I don't mind when people like make comparisons in the NFL, right? There's people that brace all these passing records, let's say, and you're always going to get the argument that the rules have changed. You can't hit a quarterback anymore. They have more time to do this. They have more time to do that. And that's all true. It's all true, but everybody starts every year with the same set of rules. And this is the game. Who's going to win? He won.
Yeah. Yeah, Jorge 100% deserved it. I agree with you 100%. It was awesome. I was super happy about it. The cool part was that it was a nice fight all the way to the end, even with, honestly, like, Bastianini and Marquez, I had, like, hopes, but never really. I think from the beginning we were talking about the two. But it was nice to see that go down to the last race again. And I kind of enjoyed the little kind of what seemed like, I'm going to call it a rivalry between Marquez and Bastianini for third place. I think it was fun. There was definitely something there. The one thing I will say, you know, despite my hate for the robot, I do think he kept it pretty classy at the end of the season. He had his moments in the season, but at the end of the season, gave it up. I do remember something talking about he literally, like, people wanted to talk to him, and he's like, this is not my day. I didn't win the championship. Go talk to the champion. He won the championship. He deserves it. That's the guy you need to, like, and, you know, not trying to be extra about it. He was actually being a good sport, if you will. So, yeah, Jorge Martin, you know, I don't think we're going to stop talking about him because who knows? I really hope that Aprilia can get their act together for that man.
Well, I bet he's pretty happy right now that the contract that got waved in front of his face wasn't KTM.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a question, though. If you sign the contract and then KTM drops out of MotoGP, I'm pretty sure they still have to pay their riders.
Yeah. So, see, we're back on KTM again, but
you brought that up.
I know. $46 million they'll save by not racing is what they estimated. It's costing them $46 million a year to run this thing.
That's with free tires and probably free fuel and probably free oil.
Free Red Bull for sure.
I'm pretty sure Michelin just supplies all the tires.
I'm sure. Well, I don't know, so I shouldn't speak on it. But, yeah, I'm sure that. Yeah, I don't know. They supply the tires. That doesn't mean the teams don't have to buy them. Dunlop supplies the tires to Moto America, but that doesn't mean the teams don't have to buy them.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, because it's something weird where they sponsor the series. That doesn't mean that they just give out tires to everyone riding in the series. It means they give the money to the series, and then in turn, everyone in the series has to buy their tires, so maybe they make money. Who knows? You know, the money politics part of the racing, I really hate because it makes you just not like it as much because it makes it feel fake. So we'll stay away from that. But I have a weird sense of hope for Jorge Martin on the Aprilia.
Of course you do.
Next year.
Of course you do. Most changes ever happen on a bike. We already been over this. Let's move to the next thing. You got the opportunity to go ride at Bittinger.
Motorsports.
Motorsports.
Campus. Yeah, I did. I'm going back. That will be covered every year in the annual from here on out. Cause that was definitely like one of the most unique and coolest track day trips, if you will, that I've done. Just, you know, in every way. One shout out to Josh for hooking us up with his trackside hotel setup. We'll call it for now. And then doing a track day where there are only four bikes there, and it was nuts. Like there wasn't waking up at the hotel and driving over there and setting everything up and going to tech and having to lug your gear to tech for no good reason. And there wasn't even a tech at all besides, like, we teched our own stuff the night before, but it wasn't like you got to wheel your bike over to tech and get all this sticker and then go to a riders meeting and all of that. You just get with Josh in the morning, either do a tech on your own bike the morning of or the night before, make sure everything's good to go so you're not going to cause a problem out on the track. But it's like very relaxed because the member you are with is in charge of you, is responsible for you, right? And then you go over some quick rules of the track, which is a very simple, like, here's the map, here's the rules, only pass in these spots. And then there were only us out there anyway. So, like, that was awesome. And then you pair that with some mini motos, a little bit of dirt riding, and hit the track again in the rain on slicks, which is not ideal. But anyway, it was sweet. That was super cool. Also, like, cool to this relationship with Josh has been, you know, we met him in COTA dang near 2 years ago now. Haven't actually been with him in person since then to finally go down and see what it's all about and see the campus for real. Pretty cool. Curriculum's great. I will say that Josh just continues to, you know, there's no stop down there. Continues to progress and move things on and change his program, fix other programs, create new programs. So I'm excited to see what the future brings for the Bittinger Motorsports team.
Right. I, this year, had the opportunity to rub something in your face mm-hmm. and go to your ever so holy Ridge Motorsports Park.
All right, I'm leaving the show.
Yeah, I got to go there just to try to offend you and got repaid with 3 broken ribs.
Yeah. You got the repaid with the P&W Classic, the Atmospheric River. The reason they say it, they're on every track day org up there, their website says something about, we will ride if it's raining, because it's the P&W, it's probably raining.
That was a highlight of the year for me. That's one of those ones that, you know, in the moment, that was a day I just wanted to forget.
Yeah.
Never wanted to be there. But, you know, as you get further and further removed from it, your memories become more and more fond. That was a highlight of the year for me.
It is easy to look back after the fact, and once the duct tape is turned into part of the bike rather than just a patch on the bike.
What about our trip to North Carolina?
You're talking about CMP?
Yeah.
Technically in South Carolina. That's why I was confused. It's okay. It's right on the border, but that one's technically in Kershaw SC. Yeah. You know,
sorry,
that one,
sorry, SC people.
You pair that with Roebling. It's funny. I had a buddy this morning. I was like, hey, you ever been down to Roebling? I was like, yeah, I hated it. Like instantly, I was like, yeah, I hated it. Yeah, CMP, 100% better than Roebling, especially if there's ambulances around. But, yeah.
What else? You also did.
I did. So I went to North Carolina. I did, you know, looking back every year, I have to look back and realize I went to Road Atlanta this year, went to Barber, went to MSRH, went to NC Bike. And then, you know, I rode the East Track for the first time in Utah. So I'm still added quite a few to the list, which is super cool. When I was up at NC Bike, a dude noticed my list, all the stickers on the trailer. He's like, what is all that? I was like, yeah, it's this weird thing I do, but that's everywhere I've been. He's like, oh, wow. I've been like here in one other place. That's kind of cool. And I was like, you know, thank you. It's kind of cool. But it's really cool to just kind of, you know, look back and think about all the different tracks. NC Bike is worth checking out if you live nearby. I would not fly to see it by any means. Road Atlanta, on the other hand, I did have a chance to check that out. I'll be going back sometime this year, maybe a couple times. Hopefully you're doing a race, I think. Yep, that's on the schedule this year, so we might be racing down there. That is, Cole, you missed out on that one.
I know.
And for anyone on the East Coast that hasn't ridden it, strap your pants on.
Bring a diaper.
Yeah, that one. That's a good one. That is quite a track. Quite a track. It is, they say racetracks are supposed to be challenging. Yep.
I knocked off High Plains Raceway this year.
Yeah, the High Plains Raceway.
High Plains of Colorado.
Yeah, did you meet Kreese out there? Was that?
No, I met him. I met him at a Moto America event with Anthony.
That's right. Okay.
In Brainerd.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Got a chance to get absolutely blown by Kreese Elliott. No offense.
Thanks for bringing that up.
You know, sometimes you gotta admit it. But then later we got to talk to Kreese Elliott, which was awesome. So I love seeing the young talent. I saw a video of Kaylee Yakov today. you know, it said low enough, and something about being on a bike is only 2 weeks away now, and it's her dragging a knee and an elbow around a turn. I was like, yep, nope, that's low enough.
So I'm pretty sure her and Josh are going to be on Ducatis. Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be on Ducatis doing training after the next Chuckwalla weekend, race weekend.
Ooh, okay.
They're going to be out there doing training like Monday, Tuesday or something after the event.
Interesting. You didn't hear it here first.
No, you did not. But maybe you did.
Maybe. Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. I thought that you were about to talk about the Daytona 200 coming up.
No, but that's coming. I'm excited for that. We have so like you said, we both knocked off new tracks.
Mm-hmm.
We both got faster. We both made it through without any actual broken bones. That's good.
Yeah. I had a pretty, you know, knock on wood. Had a pretty okay year.
Yeah. I had a lot of ligament damage, but I think it's called deterioration. It's different.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get old, I guess.
I know. But looking forward to next year. What do we got? You're going to be doing some racing?
I will be doing some racing. I will put it out there. I'm not going to race an entire season. I cannot do that. So it's not like I'm going to be taking home a championship or nothing. But we're going to keep up with the racing thing. Try out the – see if we can afford tires effectively. It's an experiment. It's not about how fast. It's about how many tires this year. So okay. Don't be expecting nothing too crazy.
Looking for sponsors now.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to support the tire fund, one, you could subscribe to the YouTube channel. And two, let me know if you get a business and you're looking to sponsor. I will gladly put your name on the side of a motorcycle that will enter a race.
You're a hell of a salesman. Hell of a salesman.
Yep. Yeah. We're working hard.
All right. Well, we got.
What about you? What's coming up? We doing the vintage thing?
No.
We doing the Formula 40 thing?
Probably not.
Background of the numbers is changing.
Background of the numbers is going to change colors.
Oh, boy. It's going to red. He's doing Moto America.
No. We're going to go play around with the experts and see what happens this year. And maybe looking to do some endurance racing.
Okay. Oh, boy, that's big news. USBA Endurance, we haven't heard a whole lot about that yet.
Yeah. The USBA released their schedule. They have an endurance race on the schedule. 2 hours, I believe. I don't have all the details yet, but it is in the schedule. So why not, right? Haven't experienced that. And at my age, it's just about experiencing the things in the last weeks you have left.
I was going to say, that's got to be 2 hours straight. It's got to be great for the ligaments that you were talking about earlier.
Tape them together. That's what Excedrin is for.
Yeah. Endurance racing, though. So you're doing that. We never got around to it, and I'd still like to, you know, talk about why racers travel. But you haven't been to CVMA yet.
I'll be there when you're listening to this podcast, we'll be basically a week out. Okay. Actually, when you're listening to this, I will be 1 week out from the long drive, the 10-hour drive.
There you go. All right. So Cole will be traveling, doing some CVMA racing, coming back up for USBA, of course. Going to take KOM championship first year. Watch out, Lugnut.
Wow. No pressure.
You're on a BMW. I mean, Top Rack did it.
Right. Race on Sunday, sell on Monday, right?
Yep, that's how it goes. But yeah, I mean, beyond that, any other plans for traveling?
So I ought to come up there and do something with you.
Yeah. I gotta. We'll have to iron that out because I haven't fully figured out my own personal schedule. I've got the season schedule. I haven't personally figured out what all I'm going to do yet, but all right. So maybe a little bit of 750 action, huh?
Well, I was going to use your bike.
My 750?
No. We're just going to put a white overlay on that, and then we can race the same day.
All right. I don't know that the group that I race with has a differentiation between advanced and not.
All right. We're going to look funny on the same bike then.
Hey, you know, we could do the sidecar thing. That still weirds me out. Modern day sidecar racing is nuts.
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, we shouldn't. But if you haven't seen that, look it up. I'm sure everyone that listens to this has seen it. Look it up. It's insane. It is insane.
It's another highlight, I guess I should say, from the year. I did get to fun boy it with Anthony back after a crash, which I don't care what any of you say. That was fun. It was funny.
Okay. All right. The fun boying was fun.
The fun boying. Good.
Well, so, I mean, off the asphalt, though, you also picked up, what do they call those things? Dirt scooter. Dirt scoot. Yeah, dirt scoot. Picked one of them up. Oh, 450. And behind the scenes, yeah, I don't let you talk about it a whole lot, but I'm giving you, this is your time.
Oh, yeah?
Light it up. How's that been? Any more broken ligaments from that, despite the...
It ain't good on you, I'll tell you that much. No, I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, from Josh Bittinger to everybody else in the world that's ever talked that, you know, if you have a dirt bike background, it helps in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
I've been putting in a lot of time and super excited to see how that correlates when I get back on a road going bike.
So to dive into that a little bit, because that's an interesting subject, because yeah, absolutely. Right. Every coach, every smart guy, every fast racer will tell you cross training helps. Right. Have you like had any moments out there? Cause I don't imagine that happens too often where you're like on the dirt and you're like, oh my goodness, I know how to ride now. But so, I imagine like you're riding and something happens and it's just kind of, you're naturally a little bit.
So amazingly, better. It's 100% different riding style in most every way you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that how I hope it correlates is getting used to something moving all over underneath you.
Yeah.
Being without traction all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. And how you react to that has got to correlate. Another thing is, of course, just the type of riding I've been doing, just the clutch, throttle, brake, you know, you do 20 miles of some of the stuff we've been doing and you've used your clutch more than you would in a 5-day race weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's just a lot of shifting, a lot of clutching, a lot of braking, a lot of repetitive work on that. Okay. I was told this weekend that it'll be odd to get back on a bike that has handlebars squoze down against the tank after you get used to, you know, this
big bike. Have you, I guess you, not to let the secrets out, but you don't have yours on you right now, per se, your race bike. So you haven't like gotten home from dirt biking and just gone over and like tested that and like sat on it on the stands or anything?
No.
All right. It'll be interesting. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm excited to see, you know, dig into that a little bit. This feels weird to say, but I would challenge you to, if you can. I know everyone when they race has a very specific like mental spot that they get in. It's a good thing, right? If you're a good racer, you got to have your own spot in your brain carved out for like, this is race mode. And sometimes that involves a ton of focus. Sometimes it's a very like focus point. Sometimes it's some good old tunnel vision. And sometimes it's kind of, I don't actually know. I black out and I go race and I get back and I either won or I didn't. But I would be very curious over the next year to kind of hear how the, like, you know, I was out on track and I noticed this thing happened and then the dirt bike came back and just get some like real world firsthand. I'd be kind of excited to hear about that.
I'm kind of hoping it just makes me look at the dirt and go, I've been there enough. I don't need to do that again this year. Cause see, I've been trying to take my road bike dirt biking one too many times this year, so.
Okay, so you're trying to get all the dirt out of your system now. All right, I'm tracking on that. Tracking.
Well, what do you think? That's what I got. I'm sure more happened. I'm sure more will. And that's what I got. I was trying to think of my – I had a sweet segue last week. The sweet segue hasn't come up yet.
That was pretty good. It was smooth. Well, I don't know if I'd say smooth, but it was good. I mean, it was a good year. Once again, just, you know, I would say everyone that it's the off season, it's winter for most of us. The few listeners we have down in Australia, lucky you, it's summer. And all the Texan people that I can ride all year, Josh. Happy riding. Hope you enjoy it. For the rest of us that are stuck in a little bit cold and the tracks are all closed, take this time to reflect, look back. Remember that you did some fun stuff. Remember to budget money for tires now, so you have plenty of money to finish out a season so you can win your championship next year. Also wish everyone the best of luck. That's about all I got.
Absolutely. Everybody have a safe, happy new year.
Yep.
Let's go 2025.
There you go. We'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening.